Okay, open your Bibles to Judges chapter 9. Judges chapter 9. If you remember, last week we had Abimelech, who was the son of Gideon and Gideon's concubine. Gideon had died at the end of chapter 8. Gideon passed away, and so Abimelech convinced the men of Shechem, that was his mother was from Shechem, convinced them to make him king, and they gave him, I believe it was 70 pieces of silver, and he went and killed the 70 sons of Gideon. The Bible says on the same rock he killed all those 70 men. Somebody asked me last week after that why he did that. He did that to alleviate any threat to his throne. That's barbaric, but it wasn't really uncommon in ancient times when a king ascended the throne. Sometimes even he would kill his own family members. If a king died and he had multiple sons, well, whichever the sons was named king, then would kill his brothers, so as to remove that threat. And that's why Abimelech did it. And one of Gideon's son, Jotham, escaped somehow. He hid. Apparently, he wasn't present, I guess, when that took place. And so we're going to take up this story. Sorry. I always have trouble with my voice. I don't know why is that. We're going to take up the story in verse 7 of chapter 9 of Judges. And this is Jotham's parable or whatever you want to call it. This is really, Jotham spoke as directed by God. And it is really a pronouncement, if you will, of God's judgment. We know what I think we have forgotten about God's judgment. In the Old Testament, we read it, and boy, sometimes the judgment of God fell just instantaneously. Fire from heaven would fall, or pestilence would come, or the enemy oppressors would come. And then we get to the New Testament, we get to the age of grace, the age that we live in, and God is more long-suffering with people today. And it seems like the judgment of God is... It seems like to us sometimes that it's so delayed that it doesn't come at all. I think we forget that the judgment of God is still certain, it is still severe, and it is still immediate. We look at people who are unsaved, and sometimes their life seems good, and they make money, or they have lots of friends, or they're famous, or healthy, or whatever it might be. And the truth is, those people are miserable. And we know that because we were just like them before we got saved. We know that they have no peace, they have no security, they have no hope. They may have material stuff, but they don't have anything else. And we forget that, but that's still the truth. The judgment of God is still instantaneous. And then the delayed judgment of God is still certain and still severe. And this story in chapter 9 of Judges is the story, if you will, of God's judgment, although it's delayed by 3 years. So verse 7. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim. When Jotham found out about the death of his brothers, about the ascension of Abimelech to the throne over Shechem, all that type of stuff, he went and stood in the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, the people of Shechem, hearken unto me, hearken unto me, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them, and they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and men, and go and be promoted over the trees? The tree said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. Now, have you noticed the digression in the story? We've started, the trees are seeking a king, and we've started with the olive tree. We've gone there from the fig tree, which is a little lesser tree. We've gone there to the vine in verse 12. They said to the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and men, and go to be promoted over the trees? Then said the trees, all the trees unto the bramble, come thou and reign over us. Now we're down to the bramble bush. The the significance of this story, this parable, is simply this. Abimelech is the bramble of represents Abimelech. And the bramble is inferior to all trees and is unworthy to reign over the trees. It's not even a tree. But in the parable, they come to the bramble and they say, "Come thou and reign over us." And the bramble said unto the trees, "If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out from the of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Now, would you just look at verse 15 for just a minute? We're going to talk about a little bit of it, and then we're going to delay talking about a little bit of it. A bramble is low to the ground. A bramble is on the ground. So the bramble says to the trees, "If in truth ye anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow." Now, when's the last time a bramble bush could cast a shadow over a tree? See, it doesn't work. It's an empty promise. That's the point. It's an empty promise. The bramble is not concerned about sheltering the trees. The bramble is concerned only with himself and being glorified as king. Here's the story. Abimelech is the bramble, and he's not concerned about helping the people of Shechem or taking care of them. He's only concerned about himself and his own glory and his own plans and devices. His promises to the people of Shechem are empty. But they don't see that. But that's the story of the parable. And then he says, "If not, if you really don't want me to be the king, then let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Now just remember that part. We're going to come back to it. Then Jotham says to the people, he told them the parable of the bramble, the trees and the bramble. Then he says in verse 16, "Now therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely in that ye have made Abimelech king, and if ye have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands," those are the questions. If what you're doing is right, if you've dealt with Gideon's family right, and then we have the parentheses, "For my father fought for you and adventured his life far, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, and ye are risen up against my father's house this day, and have slain his sons 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother." Now that's what you've done. If all that you have done is right and honorable and correct. Verse 19, "If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal, that name, that's hard to say, right? "And with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you." If what you have done is right, then just let everything be good, everything be well, let there be rejoicing. "But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech." The idea is that if a fire begins, the bramble is close to the ground and is quickly ignited because it's generally a dry bush. So it's close to the fire, it is quickly ignited, and it serves as kindling to catch the trees on fire. So Jotham says, "Listen, if what you've done is right, then everything's going to be good and they'll be rejoicing and everything's going to be okay. If what you have done is wrong, then Abimelech will sow discord among the brethren of Shechem, and there will be problems, there will be judgment from God for what you have done." Okay, now we're going to fast forward 3 years. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. And when Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel. Now, you know what? In that 3 year span, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened, at least not in this portion of Scripture. It doesn't tell us what happened. But probably in that 3 year span, everything went okay. They rocked along. They weren't serving God. They were serving idols, but it was sort of that pattern that they fell in. They were deluded, so they were comfortable. They were disobedient, but they weren't under the oppression of an enemy nation. They had just been delivered from the Midianites by Gideon, and for the 40 years or so of his life, they were serving God, and everything was okay. And so, really, as far as they was concerned, everything was all right. And it seemed like that Abimelech and Shechem were going to get along, and Jotham was just sour grapes. Then verse 23 says, after that 3-year period, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. An evil spirit simply means a discordant spirit. And I want you to notice what the Bible says. God sent discord. This is the judgment of God. Between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. The love, the honeymoon is over, and now there's discord. Now there's fire from the bramble that's igniting the trees, and there's discord in the trees with the bramble, see? Verse 24, that the cruelty, God sent this evil spirit, this discord among the brethren, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. There's something interesting here. I don't want to belabor the point a lot, because we got a lot of verses to go already. But isn't it interesting that God said that judgment is coming upon Abimelech because he physically slew the 70 sons of Gideon? But the judgment of God is also coming upon the men of Shechem because they paid him and let him do it. They were complicit in this terrible act that was committed. And the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him, for Abimelech, in the top of the mountains. And they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. Now here was the plan. The men of Shechem set an ambush for Abimelech. They knew the path that he traveled from one place to the other. And so they set men in ambush for Abimelech, and the plan was for them to kill Abimelech when he came through. But these guys were morally absent, I guess. And so while they were waiting on Abimelech, everybody that came along, they'd robbed them, and maybe they beat them, maybe they killed them, I don't know. But who was going to stop them? They were sent there specifically to kill somebody. So they knew they were sort of free to do whatever they wanted to do, and so that's what they did. And then somebody told Abimelech about what was going on, and apparently they told him that they were there to kill him, that the ambush was set for him. Verse 26, and Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. We know nothing about Gaal except what is told in this story in Judges chapter 9. He just appears on the scene, much like Abimelech did, and he says, hey, what, you really should be following me and not Abimelech. And apparently the men of Shechem, because they're upset with Abimelech, agree. Verse 27, they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod their grapes and made merry and went into the house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. They talked bad about the king. First time in the history of the world that anybody talked bad about the king. Well, we think politics is rough today. Man, this was rough, wasn't it? And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him, Abimelech? Zebul apparently is the ruler of Shechem in the absence of Abimelech. He apparently is sort of like the governor of Shechem. And when Abimelech is gone, he's Abimelech's right-hand man, if you will. Now, I want you to notice they did eat and drink. Verse 27, they did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. And they got a little bit drunk, apparently. And, you know, sometimes the right kind of alcoholic beverage, or maybe I should say the wrong kind of alcoholic beverage, will give you courage that you don't normally have, and Gaal got it. And so he began to say, boy, who is this guy anyway? You know, what we really need to do, what you and I need to do is just go kill him and be done with him and just serve me. Verse 29, and would to God this people were under my hand, these are the words of Gaal, then would I remove Abimelech, and he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. He challenged him. He said, okay, boy, let's go. You and me, mano a mano, army against army. I think I can take you. And when Zebul, you remember he's Abimelech's governor, when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled, and he sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. He says, there's a coup brewing, and you need to do something about it. Now therefore up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field, and it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and set upon the city. And behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to him as thou shalt find occasion. And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from lying in wait. Apparently this is a mourning. And when Gaal saw the people, he goes out to the gate of the city, and he begins to look around, and he sees movement up in the mountains. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, the governor, "Behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains." And I love this. This is a great passage of Scripture. If you mark in your Bibles, mark this stuff. And Zebul said unto him, "Thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men." Oh, you're crazy, Gaal. That's just the shadows up there. That's not really people. Now, I'm not sure why he did that, except that he was mad. And he was playing with Gaal a little bit. But probably he was stalling for time to give Abimelech and his men time to get into position to attack the city or to attack Gaal when he brings the men of the city out, whatever might take place. Verse 37. And Gaal spake again and said, now pay very close attention. "See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meonium." He said, "I'm not seeing things. That's people. That's men. That's an army. They're coming to get us." Then said Zebul unto him, "Where is now thy mouth, wherewith thou saidest, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them.'" Listen, buddy, you were drunk, and you were bragging, and you said you could take him. There he is. Go get him. "Where is now thy mouth?" Now, listen, Abimelech's no prize, and he's as guilty or as anybody else. But I love that passage of Scripture because of the fact that this is the hand of God doing this. And sometimes, don't you know, God just wants to look at some people, maybe sometimes at us, and say, "Listen, put your money where your mouth is. Put up or shut up." And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. Gaal led the men of Shechem to fight with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren that they should not dwell in Shechem. So they come back to Shechem defeated. Gaal pushes them back out of the city where again they're vulnerable and exposed. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech, and he took the people and divided them into three companies and laid wait in the field and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. So they were, Abimelech took his men and went to the gate of the city where they couldn't go back in for protection. The other two companies then killed them as they were exposed out in the fields. Verse 45, and Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. So the judgment of God on the people of Shechem was that they were defeated. They followed Gaal, who was unable to lead them to victory. And they were defeated by Abimelech. And then it says that he sowed the city with salt. That also was not an uncommon thing to be done in ancient times. It polluted the water. It polluted the ground so that things wouldn't grow. At least for a time, it left that area barren and desolate so that if you wanted to go and build a city there, you really couldn't because nothing would grow. The water was undrinkable. That was the point of sowing with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god of Beerith. And hold is just simply a fortified room somewhere in the temple of this god Beerith that they would go for protection. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bow from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, what ye have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. Go get a branch of a tree. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold, laid them out around the outside of this fortified room, and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the Tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. They either burned to death inside the room, or when they came out to escape the fire, they were killed by Abimelech and his men. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. And apparently Thebez was complicit with Shechem. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. So it's essentially the same thing that happened before, except this time the people flee to a tower, not just a room that's fortified, but to a tower. Well, Abimelech thinks the fire worked once, it'll work again. Verse 52. And Abimelech came into the tower and fought against it, and went hard into the door of the tower to burn it with fire, just like he had done with the room. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull. So Abimelech got close enough to the tower to take the branch, to set the branch around the base of the tower so that they could set it on fire. And he got close enough that there was a woman up in the tower. There was a window, and she dropped a piece of a millstone, a rock, and it hit Abimelech in the head and fractured his skull. Verse 54. Then he called hastily unto the young man his armor-bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword, and slay me, that the men that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. It was a great disgrace for a man, in particular a warrior, to be killed by a woman. And so he said, I want you to kill me so that nobody can say a woman killed me. And guess what? Over 2,000, 3,000, however many years later, we're talking about Abimelech, and a woman killed him. Didn't work, did it? And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man into his place. Now, the next two verses, pay very close attention. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil men of Shechem did God render upon their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. God's judgment fell. Abimelech was killed. The men of Shechem who were involved with him in the murders that he committed, they were killed. God's judgment fell. We need not, as Christians, we need not fear God's judgment, because God's judgment for us will be entrance into heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing that we have done. But we need to remember the judgment of God, because there are millions and millions, billions of people out there in our world today who are bound to suffer ultimately the ultimate judgment of God. And we need to warn them, we need to love them, we need to tell them as kindly as we can, so that they too might escape his judgment, because God's judgment is sure and God's judgment is severe. Thank you for coming tonight. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. I know I read fast, but I think you listened fast, so we're in good shape.